And more times than I can count, I have called you mine. You have stood by me in my
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. You can watch our programs each day by going to ustream.tv and then searching for Gary Null. That's the letter U, STREAM.TV. Today, we're going to look at the latest in how to heal the body, why red meat and dairy is not good for the environment, not just for your body. Are allergies made worse by stress? Ohio State University study. Vitamin C can modulate gene expression. What does that mean? Coenzyme Q10 can block neurodegenerative diseases. Omega-3 fatty acids can help you with periodontal conditions and gingivitis and gum disease. And also, key chocolate ingredients could prevent diabetes. And a lot more on health. From our environmental segment today, Fukushima. Radiation in the food, it's reached Canada. You wouldn't know it by speaking with anyone in the American media or the Canadian media. So who informed us that the seafood in Canada grocery stores was radioactive? How about a young school student? That's right. A school student at Grand Prairie Composite High School in Alberta made her discovery with the help of a $600 Geiger counter her father purchased and the need to complete a science project. So we're going to tell you what all of the media in Canada and the United States missed. She found it. We'll share it with you. Also today, I will do a more in-depth discussion about predatory loans and why I believe that most people today should not, I repeat, should not go to college at all. I'll explain why. There are some exceptions, but otherwise it's just a trap. This is not the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s. It's a different time, different requirements. And yet people like lemmings are just doing the same thing and ending up in the worst place. Also today, a special report. Poverty in the United States. This will begin a program of enlightening people of what's happening to the rest of the country when it comes to how they're making it day to day. This is leading up to the premiere of my new feature documentary, Poverty Inc., this August. And I'll be giving a series of insights and also telling you what the pushback is. The pushback is helping the poor? No, it's not. It's wanting to criminalize you feeding the poor. How's that possible? You'll see. Also, in the very near future, I'll be going to Canham, New Jersey to film. And when I do go, I'll announce it probably 2 or 3 days ahead. It'll be in the next couple of weeks so that anyone in the audience who would like to come and see how Canham is trying to renew itself, that's a good thing, but also what it's like to live in Canham. We will be going into the worst parts of Canham. We will be going into drug-infested neighborhoods where violence is very high. So be warned, if you are a person that's not up for that, don't come that day. But you can't tell the truth unless you go to where the truth is being written, and that is the poorest city in the United States, Camden, New Jersey. Let's begin. You've heard me mention so many times about why meat in any form, including organic and dairy, are harmful to the body. We have cited hundreds of scientific reports, plus people's own experience. But I also gave a report 2 years ago on how raising animals, livestock, for human consumption impacts the environment. I gave the example to raise a potato from a spud to a full potato that you can harvest and eat takes about 60 gallons of water. Very low. to get what you would find in about a pound of meat takes over 12,000 gallons of water for the cow to drink. That means that for a full cow, you're looking at hundreds of thousands of gallons of water. But also you end up with methane. It's a very destructive process to grow animals for human consumption. This is the latest from Chalmers University of Technology in Sweden. Quote, meat and dairy consumption may need to be reduced in order to meet climate targets. Greenhouse gas emissions from food production may threaten the UN climate target of limiting global warming to 2 degrees Celsius. Yesterday, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change presented their report. Carbon dioxide emissions from the energy and transportation sectors currently account for the largest share of climate pollution. However, a study from Chalmers now shows that eliminating these emissions would not guarantee staying below the UN limit. Emissions from agriculture threaten to keep increasing as global meat and dairy consumption increases. If agricultural emissions are not addressed, nitrous oxide from fields and methane from livestock may double, and this alone would make meeting the climate target essentially impossible. Quote, we have shown that reducing meat and dairy consumption is key to bringing our agricultural climate pollution down to safe levels. Broad dietary change can take a long time. We should already be thinking about how we can make our food more climate friendly. So, when you look at beef and pork and lamb, veal, they're all the largest agricultural emissions relative to the energy they provide. So it's a big carbon footprint. So for every one of you who says no to animal products, you're doing a good thing for the environment as well as your health. Allergy season is upon us, but most people don't consider the allergens in relationship to stress. Ohio State University has published an article in the Annals of Allergy and Asthma and Immunology. Here's what it says. Allergies are made worse by stress. Allergies happen when a person's immune system overreacts to a generally harmless foreign substance like an allergen, launching chemicals such as histamines that provoke allergy symptoms. Now, we're aware that dust and food and insect vermin, mold, drugs, animal danders, pollen, even the tiny little cockroach, when you're asleep at night, those cockroaches are climbing on everything in your house. They're climbing, especially in the kitchen, on dishes, silverware, plates, pots, and pans. Now, you can't see it unless you go in the middle of the night. And now, you can prevent that if you have an absolutely clean kitchen where there's no food they can get to and really cleaning surface areas. And then you're not aware that they've climbed on something. That's why I always suggest when you go in your kitchen, if using a glass, a plate, a fork, spoon, simply take it for 10 seconds. That's all, under the water. It'll wash off their debris because that debris is extremely toxic and that can provoke allergies as well. And, quote, symptoms such as sneezing, runny nose, watery eyes can cause sufferers of allergens to become even worse. But when you're stressed, it gets altogether worse. And they found that people who were stressed over a 12-week period who participated in the study, they end up having much worse allergic responses. Quote, stress can cause several negative effects on the body, including causing more symptoms for allergy sufferers. Our study also found those with more frequent allergy flares also had greater negative mood, which may be leading to these flares. So what's the takeaway message? It's relatively simple. When you're stressed, you depress the immune system. When you depress the immune system, you're more susceptible to things you may not have had any response at all to. when you have allergic reactions because you're stressed and because your immune system's weakened, then it further challenges the immune system, which causes more symptoms, which cause more stress. So it's a cycle. And that's why you need time in nature, de-stressing, detoxing, doing yoga, juicing, cleansing. That's the ticket. And that's what we should all be doing, especially this time of year. Coenzyme Q10, very important nutrient. It's really important against inflammation, according to the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, Sweden. Quote from their study, markers of innate immune activity in patients with type 1 and type 2 diabetes mellitus and the effect of antioxidant coenzyme Q10 on inflammatory activity. That was the title of the article. And what they found was this. For type 1 and type 2 diabetes, over 12 weeks of supplementing with coenzyme Q10 reduced substantially HBD2 and induced changes in subset distribution activation of markers, natural killer cell markers, which is good because it means you're better able to fight cancer. So it helps you prevent complications from diabetes if you take coenzyme Q10. I'm suggesting 100 to 1,000 milligrams a day. I remember speaking with three people who were instrumental in determining what we now call epigenetics. The father of distress therapy, Hans Selye, he was acknowledged worldwide as the first major scientist to let us understand how normal stress is good for us and something we shouldn't fear, but distress, when we become anxious, fearful, apprehensive, that is bad. But when you go to a ball game or you're dancing or you're with your loved ones, that's good stress. We all enjoy doing things that excite us, going to a movie, going to a place on a vacation we've never been before. These are all forms of stress, but they're good stress. Good hormones come from them, and good memories also. Whereas distress, no, always bad. So he told us how to be aware of this, that what you say to a person and what you say to yourself, you become. So if you feel unworthy, if you feel so much disdain for yourself because of your incompleteness, your failures, the lost opportunities that you've missed because you weren't up to the moment, so when the opportunity came, you took it, and that's 99.9999% of everyone that I meet who's having a crisis. It's not the crisis in the moment. It's what precipitated it. Lost opportunities where they should have made an opportunity for themselves to change, and they chose not to. Where an opportunity happened, and they chose not to take advantage of it. As if it'll happen again, no, it won't. No two opportunities in life are ever the same, nor do they ever happen the same way. Now, the wise person is a person who wakes up one day and says, all right, I've made a lot of stupid choices. I have to own that. But just saying that I made a mistake doesn't cause me to grow. I could do that in an AA meeting. You know, everybody gets up and says, you know, I'm Bob, I'm an alcoholic. Well, I'm the person who would stand in front of the room and say, Bob, you're not an alcoholic, and this is all a joke. Bob, if you think you're an alcoholic, then you're a disease. If you're a disease, then it's not your responsibility. It was in your genes. Well, it's not in your genes. It is your responsibility. You simply made a bad choice. Why don't you just stand up and do it differently? Say, I'm Bob. I'm smarter than the choices I've made in my life. I've made some stupid choices for a lot of reasons. Arrogance, ego, defiance, indifference, hubris. And I got away with it until I didn't. And then instead of acknowledging my mistakes and seeking help, instead I doubled down and destroyed my job, my career, my family, trust of others. This isn't about a disease. This is about not being responsible for the choices we make. Yes, chemicals can have an impact upon the body. Absolutely. Heroin, cocaine, nicotine, even sugar and alcohol. But at the end of the day, the fact that anyone has been able to give up any of those and go on and produce life means, like Bannister, who broke the 4-minute mile, it's doable. And what determines the next person to make a good choice is the person that steps forward and says, I am now very uncomfortable. I'm feeling enormous apprehension because I'm no longer in the protection of my victimization story. I mastered my story. I could play it. I could get people to want to rescue me. I could show where nothing is my fault. Woe is me. And that's where I've lived. Or I can say, I'm here today and I'm not being victimized, so I have no excuse for making a bad choice today. And I cannot apologize, nor can I completely understand all the bad choices I've made from the past. All I have to do is learn the lesson. I don't want to make any bad. I want a good choice. I want something good to happen today, so I'm going to have to think good, do good, be honest, be aware, and be present for the opportunities of life. Because the moment I step back from that line that says, I'm ready, opportunity, I want this opportunity to allow me to grow to the next stage. I'm going to go through discomfort, so what? Think of every woman who said, I'm not going to go through the discomfort of pregnancy, so we never had any children. And think how quickly the discomfort and pain of the pregnancy and the delivery fades when you see the beauty of what you've created, that special, magical, and heavenly presence of the baby. Well, then we say, it was worth the pain. You bet. But in our society, we're afraid of pain, and so we numb ourselves. We anesthetize ourselves whenever possible. And then one day, there's a knocking on the door and we don't hear it. Like Mommy's Little Helper, Valium in the 70s, that caused massive destruction in millions and millions of women's lives, you're not even aware when opportunity comes. Because you're stuck in the story of how you feel. Not even realizing that is artificial. So it takes courage and confidence, it takes strength of character, and it takes an embracing of the spiritual self, something that many people on the left have simply denied exists, unfortunate for them. That's why so many are just miserable, angry, self-loathing, and envious and jealous souls. But that's what it is, and we all know that. All you have to do is take advantage of the good opportunities of life when you grow, and you realize, gee whiz, now that I look back of where I was and the excuses I made, the alliances I made, I don't want any more of that. I'm free. Ah, scary place to be free. Because then you can't blame anyone or anything or any ideology or any relationship or any circumstances of your life for the moment you're in. To the contrary, you take control of it and it's your life. That is what epigenetics is about. We cannot change who our parents were, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, where we were born, the circumstances. We cannot alter our race. We cannot change the genes. What we can do is understand we no longer are going to be limited by them. The awareness that we're impacted by our genes, the awareness of the epigenetics, that we should be on the good side of stress instead of living constantly in the downside of distress and then using that as a way of projecting out our anger and rage towards society. That's epigenetic. And so one day you wake up and say, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world today. My day is going to be special because I'm in control of it and I'm going to make something good happen with it. That's the good side of epigenetics. I also had a lot of conversations with Bruce Lipton. Also, but way before Bruce Lipton, there was Larry Leshan, Dr. Larry Leshan. And after Larry Leshan and before Bruce Lipton, there was a doctor who was the chief psychiatrist for the city of New York. And he was doing some research at the Institute of Applied Biology, where I was a research scientist. He could predict women who were going to get breast cancer who were otherwise completely healthy, had no risk factors, because he believed that what you think you become and the environment you're in, you become, and the people and the beliefs that you align with, you become. Therefore, his encouragement was, think the positive thoughts, do the positive deeds, keep on the right side of the truth, universal truth, and you will not be a victim of your genes. All of those people, Hans Selye, Lawrence Lushan, Bruce Lipton, now they were all right, but they were ahead of their times. Now epigenetics is everywhere. This is the latest. This is from the peer-reviewed journal Food and Nutrition Research. Quote, vitamin C supplementation modulates gene expression in peripheral blood mononuclear cells, specifically upon an inflammatory stimulus. What's it saying here is that vitamin C was able to regulate genes, turn off the inflammatory model, turn on the anti-inflammatory model, cytokine 10. In other words, 1 gram, 1,000 milligrams a day of vitamin C for 5 days had, quote, a markedly different modulation of gene expression. So, what does that tell me? How would I read that? I would say that at the universal level, the body recognizes that vitamin C and antioxidants and ORAC the foods that give us these antioxidants, like berries and vegetables and fruits and juices, that is the natural alignment, the natural synergy, the natural rhythm of rebalancing what the body needs to keep the pro-inflammatory exposures down, to keep your body's natural killer cell activity up. Those scavenge the body for cancer cells and kill them. So when you do breathe in, drink in, or eat in any form or create through stress, distress, create any inflammatory, by taking in things that modulate vitamin C, you're able to suppress it and knock it out. And hence, isn't it interesting, the more we find out about nutrients, polyphenols, quercetin, all these under wonderful chemicals, thousands of them in fruits and vegetables, we now see that that is the balance that the cell is functioning from. Not the meat, not the dairy, not the smoking, the drinking, not the negative behavior, not the sarcasm, not the defeatism, not the rage. Those are all destructive to the cell and change the DNA in a negative way. I'm Gary Nall. That's the latest on health and healing. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall, broadcasting and video streaming from our studios in New York City. We have a lot of program to go. Next up, after our environmental segment, we're going to look at poverty in the United States. It'll be a short segment, then I'm going to open it up for your calls on our talkback. But don't call in yet. Wait until you hear what I'm going to talk about. Then you can call in and share your thoughts. From our environmental segment today, this is from Brandon Baker, Global Research. Quote, radioactive seafood isn't foreign to Canadian grocery stores, but we have no research and development professionals to thank for that information. Just a 10th grader from Alberta. Browen Delacruz of Grand Prairie Composite High School in Alberta made her discovery with the help of a $600 Geiger counter her father purchased and the need to complete a science project. She told Metro Canada that she decided to test the radioactivity of seafood, mostly seaweed, because she was shocked to learn that the Canadian Food Inspection Agency stopped testing imported foods in that manner the year after the Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan. Quote, some of the kelp I found was higher than what the International Atomic Energy Agency sets as radioactive contamination, which is 1,400 counts over a 10-minute period. Some of my samples were 1,800. Since the Canadians stopped testing seafood for radiation, an Alberta teenager took matters into her own hands. And she tested more than 300 seaweed samples, including brands from Japan, China, and British Columbia and California. Her work earned her a gold honor at the Regional Science Fair in Peace River, Alberta. Now, here's what she found. She found high levels of radiation, cesium-137, 73% of all the mackerel, 91% of all the halibut, 92% of all the sardines, 93% of all the tuna and eel, 94% of cod and anchovies, and 100% of all carp, seaweed, shark, and monkfish. Quote, any amount of leak radiation is harmful to the planet and the health of all species, including humans. A major release of radioactivity, such as that from Fukushima, is a huge concern. Well, good for her. Congratulations on doing what your government, your corrupt, pathetic government, doesn't have the courage to do. Do you really think for a moment that the people at your version of the FDA, which is equally as corrupt as ours, didn't know that there'd be radiation? Of course they did. But they also have to look at the larger trade issues. And therefore, seafood is a big deal. If you start disparaging seafood, then you're going to have someone asking, what about all the computers and cell phones? What about those companies that were in the area? Should we be concerned? You should test everything, because your government won't. Next up, from Nick Beringman, 1 in 3 people in the United States live, quote, hand to mouth. That's right, 1 in 3 people in the United States live paycheck to paycheck without any significant cash or savings reserves. That's according to a paper published by the Brookings Institute. 16% of the entire population, that's 50 million Americans, are officially classified as dirt poor. But the amount who are poor but living week to week is 100 million. The study expresses the fact that the great majority of workers in the United States live in an economically precarious state, even if they are not officially classified as being in poverty. In hand-to-mouth households, quote, are those that spend all their available resources in every pay period and hence do not carry any wealth forward. Now you have 38 million households who live paycheck to paycheck. 38 million? Divide that by 4. Now, add in the 50 million that are dirt poor, and you realize, wow, we have over half the American population living in abject poverty. And yet nothing's being done about it. Nothing. From Evelyn Neves from Alternet, quote, in the nation's boomtown, homeless people are more visible and invisible than ever. And I'll be filming out there next week for a day in San Francisco. The sanctuary at St. Boniface Church looks like a Red Cross center after an earthquake. People are sleeping 2 to a pew, spread out on blankets on the ceramic floor in the back of the church, or slumped chins on their chest on chairs by the old confessionals. It's noon, but that's like midnight in the upside-down world of the people who wait all night awake in order to get something to eat the next day. They're under bridges and alleys and doorways, on the sidewalks, for somewhere they can sleep in peace. It's 6 a.m. when St. Boniface opens its massive oak doors. A few dozen people are already waiting outside to get in. They keep straggling in all morning, claiming their spot on hard benches designed to keep people awake. Some take a break late morning and get on the block-long lunch line across the street at St. Anthony Foundation, which feeds 2,600 people a day. Others sleep the sleep of the dead until 3 p.m., when everyone has to leave to survive another day and night on the streets. Yes, this is San Francisco, booming with new pubs and fusion cuisines and $2,000 a month studio apartments. It's also a city where elderly homeless women sit at bus stops all day waiting for shelter beds, where an encampment of 10 homeless men and women kicked out of a patch of dirt next to an overpass, now live under the overpass and where pup tents are popping up on leafy tree-lined streets. The city has been getting lots of attention since the Brookings Institute announced last month that San Francisco is the nation's capital of growing income inequality for more haves next to have-nots. So the culture-worn neighborhoods like the Mission District, the heart of the high-tech bubble, has gotten fierce. Resentment over the big white buses that pick up and drop off workers for Apple, Google, Facebook, and other Silicon Valley companies to the Mission is so pervasive, it's almost a cliche. Reporters hoping to document the divide keep dropping by from all over. The other day, a Japanese news crew and a French freelance videographer jostled for position at a busy corner on Mission Street, both wanting to film workers getting off a Google bus and an elderly couple peddling Mexican pastries on a corner at the same time. Have and have-nots. They got it. Lost in all the anguished discussions over the artist, working class families, and senior citizens getting forced out by landlords raising rents or startup millionaires buying buildings and evicting tenants is this glaring reality. Thousands of people are living on the streets of San Francisco, the most ever. Advocates for the homeless say the numbers may be much higher than the official count, since so many homeless people find temporary quarters or on friends' couches in cheap hotels for a night or week, or double up with relatives. No matter the numbers, to anyone who has lived in the street for even 5 years, it is obvious that there are more people walking the streets carrying all they own than there used to be. People who are homeless say so too. In talks with about a dozen people living in an encampment under a freeway ramp in the Mission, everyone said they were running into more people at the recycling center, sleeping in spots that they thought no one else knew about, and vying for the same odd jobs, like sweeping a gas station. And that's how it is. And I've been all through this. I filmed it, and I'll be giving it more interest, more attention as we go on. From Paul Buchheit from Nation of Change, quote, more evidence that half of America is now or near poverty. And goes on to say that, quote, the official poverty threshold should be much higher, meaning that we're making people seem like they've got plenty if they reach a certain amount instead of looking at the conditions under which they're living. Half of all Americans, 165 million Americans, own nothing. Zip, nothing at all. So, this non-existent net worth is due in great part to the overwhelming burden of debt for Americans, which now includes college graduates entering the workforce. The average student loan balance has risen 91% in the past 10 years. Half of Americans are poor or low income, and it's much worse for black families. Incredibly, while America's total wealth has risen from $12 trillion to $77 trillion in 25 years, the median net worth for black households has gone down substantially, from $7,150 to $6,446 adjusted for inflation. So, nearly half of all American households don't have enough to hold them over for 3 months. That's 200 million people. There is no safety net for those people. So what are we doing about it? Well, here's what your mayors and city councils across America are doing about it. From Alex Kane from Alternet, quote, city orders church to stop caring for the homeless. An Illinois city has told a church that it must stop housing the homeless because they're in violation of municipal codes. Authorities in Rockford, Illinois, gave the news to leaders of the church last week, even as cold weather continues. Quote, any time the temperatures would drop below 30 degrees, freezing, we would just open up the doors of the church so people could come in and get out of the cold, the pastor said. City officials say the church doesn't have adequate fire safety and isn't zoned to serve as a homeless shelter. You got people out in the cold, the pastor said, and I think the city should allow us to stay open. But not a chance. But they're not alone. Columbia, South Carolina announced that it would require groups that feed the homeless to obtain a permit and pay a fee. Then also we had Food Not Bombs group arrested for feeding homeless. They were feeding the homeless, which is generally seen as a charitable act, but not in Orlando, a little cesspool of a city. Shame on you, Orlando. I'm boycotting. I wouldn't fly over Orlando after what you creeps have done to the poor. But that's just me. You'll have plenty of people, including those who don't connect with anyone except themselves, going there to Disney World and all the other place you have. But are those of you got behind the idea that you should be arrested for feeding the poor? Well, look in the mirror. St. Louis Church ordered to stop handing out hot meals to the homeless. Quote, the Missouri Street Church that serves hot meals to the homeless was honored with a front page feature in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch this Monday when city health departments took notice and told the group immediately ceased handing out food. Okay. They were helping 1,400 people a day, but I guess the bureaucrats, they don't count. North Carolina Charity threatened with arrest for feeding homeless people. A group that for years has handed out food to the homeless in Raleigh every weekend was threatened with arrest if they continued to give charity support. Pennsylvania church volunteers barred from feeding homeless in public parking lot. A group of church volunteers who had fed homeless people for years in central Pennsylvania are being barred from handing out food. I guess they'll have to have a SWAT team come in and show them that they're really tough. You know how we militarize the police? Let's show the police. Gee whiz, we don't have to show the police in Albuquerque. I guess they're doing great. They just shoot everything that moves. God, am I disgusted by this. As homeless line up for food, Los Angeles waives restrictions. Of course you should restrict it. Why don't you restrict yourself into non-existence by getting out of office and letting true people take your place? So Los Angeles doesn't want anything to do with the homeless or poor. Church ordered to stop giving homeless people a warm place to stay in freezing cold. Another church said, we'll arrest you, but we don't like to arrest people. We like SWAT teams, don't we? Breaking down doors. That'd be something to see. Have a bunch of these mindless robots, SWAT teams. What do they need, 100 to break open a church door, I guess? If they could do it, they would. So those are some of the things we're doing to show our president and everyone else, we care about the homeless, we care about the poor. Those are my thoughts and my energy and my feelings. I don't lie. I don't hold back what I feel. What are your thoughts? 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
About you. Stay away too long and I can't do without you. Every chance you get, you seem to hurt me more and more. But each hurt makes my love stronger than before. I know flowers grow from rain, but how can
we'll be taking your calls in a moment on the issue of the day, how we deal with homeless and the poor in the United States. But we have something brand new. First of all, we're going to be looking for an intern, someone who would like to listen to some self-empowerment CDs and watch them. There's a total of 11. I filmed these before I went on my tour 4 months ago. And we're now going to go through and do a little bit of editing. My archivist normally does all this. Sharon, she's been here 20 years as our archivist. She needs a little help. So if you would like to listen to some really powerful self-empowerment lectures, donate a little bit of time, give a call at 646-926-5422. Also, for our homestead project, we're looking to hire three, not one, not two, but three full-time gardeners. People love gardening. Room and board and a salary. Give a call, 646-926-5422, and then someone will get back to you. Now, we have on the line right now Dr. Roy Spicer. Here's something brand new. We've waited for more than a year and a half of finely tuning, developing, and testing so that we could say that if you can find a better, more comprehensive water filter, what it does, get it, because we believe we have the best in the world. Dr. Spicer has a background, PhD, in water science, a graduate of Rutgers University in water science. And, Roy, it is time the people knew, as of today, we're only able to make, I think, 24 of them, or 24 for right now, because it's really stylish. It's so sleek. I wanted something that looked almost looked like the Ferrari of water filters. Well, now we have it. But what does it do? Why is this new Twin Slim water filter so unique? Well, first of all, what is the purpose of a water filter? It's to remove all the toxic contaminations that are in the water system. Now, think of all the other systems out there. This one's compact, too. 9 inches long, 4 inches wide, 12.5 inches high, lightweight. Here's the major advantages of the new metal chemical filter. Gets rid of chemicals that can reduce very toxic contaminations 95% to 100%. This new water filter was meant to get rid of the pharmaceuticals, the herbicides, the pesticides, the heavy metals, including fluoride, lead, cadmium, mercury, chemicals, chlorine, even high levels of chlorine. It's been tested, performed several independent laboratories, that it reduces the contaminants, and the ceramic is capable of removing parasites and bacteria at greater than 99.99%. It can remove small particles of dirt and sediment. It's cleanable. It improves bad taste and odor. There are two replacement filters. And here's some of the stuff that it can get out. I'm going to read you the actual latest from the laboratories to show you all the chemicals that this was able to filter out, because I'm going to be very specific. Here's what we can get out. We can get out the dichlorinated fluoromethane, 98.9%, chloromethylene, 97%, and then vinyl chloride, a chloroethylene, trifluoromethane, methane chloride, MTBE, over chloroform, benzene. Well, that's a bad one. And that benzene is removed at 99.2%. And trichloroethylene at 99.7%, almost 100%. We have pages and pages proven by laboratory of all the things this removes. PCBs, that's a real bad one, 95.1%. Glyphosate, you know, the pesticide and GMO, 99.9% removes from the water, 99.9%. That's how good this is. There is simply nothing like this. This is the next generation. Everyone in the field now has got to run to catch up. We've kept it quiet. It's now available. Unfortunately, there's only just a handful available. We get rid of the caffeine, 97%. We get rid of over 200 biphenyl A that's in plastic. It's in the water, 97.6%. All these things we get rid of. So there's nothing that I know of in the world that does this. But that's me saying it. And since I don't want anyone to think that I'm the one saying this, let's have Dr. Roy Spicer on. Hi, Dr. Roy Spicer. Nice to have you with us.
Hello, Gary.
Did I say anything that is an exaggeration or untrue?
Absolutely not. You're reading right from the laboratory test. There was over 200 chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, and heavy metals tested against this filter, and this is unprecedented. Your concern, and you've been expressing it to me for quite a while, is about these newer unregulated chemicals, the pharmaceuticals particularly, that have been showing up in various water supplies around the country. One of the recent studies done by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, detected 21 new unregulated contaminants, including fluorinated compounds, heavy metals, and pharmaceuticals, including an antidepressant and an antibacterial. And I've seen other studies that have shown additional medications detected in drinking water. So this is a growing problem. And this is not just the contaminants that have been detected in water for the last 20 years. This is on top of all the toxic contaminants. Like you mentioned, chlorine has been around for years, and the byproducts are very toxic. They're carcinogens. Fluoride has been added in systems, which is very toxic, and this is one of the few, if only one, that can remove fluoride up to 97%. There's no other filter that can do that. So when you look at this in total, this is the newest technology. This is third generation. This was custom designed. I've been researching this. I've been developing it with you and the manufacturers. These are custom resins that are in there. They're special filter materials that are combined to reduce the widest range of contaminants I've ever seen reduced in any filter system available. And it just became available to us. I presented it to you. You read all the research and the data, and you felt that this was the next generation of filter that you needed to supply to your customers.
This is the best water filter I know of in the world, bar none. It antiquates everything else that preceded it, and I did not want to release this information till we had all the studies in, to all the chemicals were tested, to all the things that were not filtered out by any other water filter. So when I say that this is a generational leap, a quantum leap in what it does, but besides, it's so stylish. It is so cool looking. I mean, it is just looks like it's in a sci-fi film. It's really cool looking. It's lightweight, easy to clean, and that's it. But unfortunately, and there's this limitation because these are all handmade. I only have 24 of them. So here's the deal. They're only $279. That's it. Very, very inexpensive compared, so you get a better filter for less price. That's how I like to see things move through from conception to completion. So give a call now if you want to have, and it will be shipped right out to you. And we have Dr. Spicer as the technical advisor, so any questions you have, it'll all be answered. You'll even get a sheet of all the pollutants that it gets rid of and the percentages, and these are all independent laboratory tests. The best water filter, in my opinion, in the world. I don't care where you go. You could go to NASA. I don't believe you're going to find anything better. Call. If you want a copy, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Unfortunately, we only have, right now, 28. When I get more in, which will be about a month from now, I'll inform you. Or you'll be on a waiting list so that the first ones come in, you go. Because these are going to go, because there's nothing in the world that can compete with them. You can't go and look, search for yourself. Go up and look at the specifics on my website, look at all the data, look at the documentation, and then see if you can match that anywhere in the world. Because when I do something, I like to do it the best. I don't ever follow. That's just not my nature. So we're ahead on this. We now have, and I'm working on an air filter. It won't be out for another year. Why? Because we want to take it to the next level, smaller, less expensive, but even more pollution out of the air. So, again, working on it, not here yet. It will be. But the water filter, the new water filter, has two units side by side, beautiful casing, gorgeous looking, only have the on the above counter model, and it gets rid of everything. I mean, you look at the list and look at all that it gets rid of. So that is what's exciting. Pesticides, including glyphosate that you find in the GMO foods in the Roundup. So that's what we're doing. All right? I'm sorry that I only have a small number, but right now that's all I have. 877-627-5065. Roy, any final thought?
Yes, Gary. One of the things I want to mention is that the housing or casing solves a lot of problems as far as space issues. So because it's so compact, it'll fit into a lot of kitchen areas that were unfittable before because they didn't have enough space. And it also solves a lot of service issues. You don't have to juggle two filters. It's all in one housing. So it's a lot easier to service. Just needs the service on it. It's basically cleaning the ceramic periodically because of dirt trapped on it. And in terms of the volume of water you can put through well over 1,000 gallons of water in this unit, which is a tremendous amount of water for what it does.
I agree. Thank you very much, Dr. Roy Spicer. I'm Gary Nall. Let's go to the phones, and I don't see anyone right now on the line who wants to address the issues at hand. We have our nutritionist at the who helps people every Sunday from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, free. She counseled free, and her name is Sandy. Hi, Sandy. Sandy, you're there?
Yes. Hi, Gary.
Hi. And you had someone that you work with? Is that person available?
I believe he's not answering his phone.
Oh, okay. Well, if he did answer his phone, what would he tell us, since I haven't spoken with him?
Well, I worked with him, and I've helped him reverse his diabetes and get off his medications, as well as lose weight and take care of his hypertension. So he's doing pretty well.
What's his name? What's his first name?
Reuben.
All right, get Reuben to call in so we can talk with him. It's nice that you're doing that. And if anyone wants free health counseling on lifestyle and behavior modification, we have a whole team of qualified people who can help guide you through that. So, and by changing your lifestyle, changing your stress level, starting to exercise, a lot of the conditions that people thought they'd have to live with, they don't. Now, no one takes anyone off medications. Their doctors do, after they see that their blood sugars, blood pressure have come back into the normal range and stayed there. So that's good news. So Sandy's there on Sundays. You can call Sandy at 212-874-4000, 212-874-4000, and make an appointment. And again, you can go in, sit down. It's free. I pay her a good salary, so you don't have to pay her anything. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And let's say hello to Rochelle from South Carolina. Hi, Rochelle.
Hi, Gary.
How can we help you today?
Gary, I'm listening to you for 37 years, okay, and I'm not exaggerating. Okay, Fort Hood, yesterday, pharmaceuticals, I'm sick of it.
Okay.
Aren't you?
Yes. Rochelle, did you hear the two-part series I just finished yesterday called Manufacturing Madness?
Yes, of course. I wanted to be part of it.
Did you hear me? Did you also hear me state that almost 95% of all mass murders and shooters in schools and Columbine and all these have been on the psychiatric meds, the very selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors that I was saying we shouldn't be using? You heard me say that. So I also said we will never blame the drugs. Because the political and economic influence of the pharmaceutical companies, they'll blame the guns. That's where it'll go. But thank you for listening for 37 years, and thank you for being concerned and calling in. I appreciate it. Let's say hello to Al from New York. Hi, Al.
Hi. Two quick questions. One is, what can somebody take to help the swallowing, which food doesn't go all the way down? And the second, what about the rabies vaccine?
I'm opposed to the rabies vaccine as a routine vaccine. Why should someone ever be vaccinated with rabies unless they can show that a person has been bitten by an animal that has rabies, in which case then let me see the evidence that the rabies vaccine given to a person, a rabies shot after they've had rabies, can create protective antibodies. If they have that, good, then that vaccine or the injection would help save a life. If not, then what are the consequences of it? It's all in the science. But it depends upon who interprets the science and who writes the science. I do not trust any of the science coming out by the companies that actually stand to profit from the product of a vaccine, because two things. First, they have been indemnified. So if they're wrong, if they make a mistake, if a child ends up with autism or brain damage, you end up dead, they don't have to pay a penny. You can't sue them. Therefore, there's no incentive for them to be conscientious. Any other product or service or medicine, heart medicines, chemotherapy medicines, psychiatric medicines, if they screw up, then you can hold them accountable. So I'm against that. Okay? Let's say hello to, and for swallowing, first of all, it's find out why you have a swallowing problem, and is it something within the mechanism itself, in the musculature, in the mechanical movement? If it is, then you're going to have to see a throat specialist. If it's not, if it's something in how you eat your food or prepare your food, then you're going to have to go towards more soft and easy to consume foods, and take your time between eating so that the food actually has about 20 seconds from the time you chew, create the bolus, to go into the esophagus, down the throat, into the stomach. Give it time. Smaller pieces, better mastication equals easier digestion. Thanks for your call. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. You know, do you remember this movie, Sleeper, with Woody Allen?
Yes.
I came across it the other night, and I watched the whole movie again, and ironically, it's about, you know, Woody Allen is frozen in time in this capsule, and he comes back in the 2100s, and obviously, everything is mind-controlled, robotic, information-controlled, and it was kind of eerie to watch, because this is exactly what's happening today, and I'm sure Woody Allen meant it as some kind of a joke, but boy, oh boy, was he, like, right on. It was a whole police state. Anyway, I know that this whole issue of growing poverty is not just in the United States, but of course it's worldwide. And someone sent me an email about the riots in Madrid a week and a half ago, and a whole anti-austerity demonstration that drew like tens of thousands of people to central Madrid. And a number of people were injured, people were arrested, and they feel that the prime minister has eroded Spain's much-valued public health and education system while saddling Spaniards with sky-high unemployment and more debt. So even though Spain's economy was crumbling since 2008, as has ours, unemployment is cripplingly high at 26%. That's a true number. Of course, we make up 7% over here. And people are leaving the country. So, I mean, families are being broken up. The families that have been in one area for centuries, they have to migrate out of the country to find work in order to just survive. So I just find it's horrific what's happening, and I wonder if you wanted to comment on that.
You will see this type of reaction in the United States in another 2 years, but not until then. The International Monetary Fund, a completely corrupt organization, and the World Bank, equally corrupt, and bankers have been exploiting the countries of the European Union, of which Greece is one, Spain is another, Ireland is another, England is another, Italy is another, France is another. And they do it this way. They go in there to create projects that do not benefit the citizens, yet have to be paid with citizens' money. And right now, a lot of the money that's going out of Greece, instead of going letting it stay in the country and rebuilding infrastructure, which would take jobs, and rebuilding factories and rebuilding businesses and rebuilding towns, instead it's going in the billions of dollars to pay back the hedge funds, the bankers, for the money that they gave with high interest rates. That's what's meant by austerity. Austerity is, we're going to cut your pensions, we're going to cut your payroll, we're going to cut your public services, we're going to cut the subsidies on your electric or your water, now you're going to pay for your water, you're going to pay to drive down a street, you're going to pay for everything, and we're going to have outside private industries, all affiliated with the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, come in and set these up. This is going to be happening big time in the Ukraine, because Ukraine has got a lot of very important minerals and that have to be exploited. So the multinational corporations will come in and they'll exploit the resources. The International Monetary Fund, the U.S. government, will give loans, but the loans will be going to pay back previous loans, meaning bankers will be paid to pay back previous bankers, but not a penny will go to help the average person in any of these countries. So no money goes to a Greek citizen, a young person in the migration, is mainly for people under the age of 30. They have no future in their country. Right now, it's very common, and you'll see this in my new documentary. You'll see when you go down, have you ever been to Greece, Athens?
I have not.
Okay. Historically, you would see beautiful streets, cobbled streets, wonderful streets, some storefronts that have been there for a very long time, small businesses, people lounging in the evening and having late dinners. Most of that's gone now. Instead, you have boarded up stores, you have massive poverty, you have unemployment that's skyrocketing, you have violence, you have gangs, and a lot of the gangs, unfortunately, are neo-fascistic gangs, like the Golden Dawn, where they're blaming migrants, they're blaming people from Africa. So there's a lot of racial animosity and tensions and violence. But you also have people that used to have a job and were on a pension, The pension's been reduced down to about $800 a month, and that's hard to live on there. And the free medical care has been changed over. Also, that the money that is made available goes to the banks. So only when the people rise up, and I believe the next series of revolts, which won't be for another year, will go from peaceful demonstrations, which these are principally peaceful, to being directly challenging the authority of the government. And once you hit that tipping point where you're challenging the authority of a government because it's not honoring you, it's honoring the international banking community, then you'll see the people taking power positions and taking over buildings and shifting the government out to try to get more pro-populist politicians in. That's what we'll see there. You'll see it all over Europe, but you'll also see it not here for about another 2 years. As bad as it is for many Americans, as much poverty as we're in, the person in poverty in the United States still hasn't realized that they have power, and as a result, they're invisible. When the poor in the middle and the working middle class in America make themselves present, then they'll have power. Thanks for your call. We're out of time. Let's say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. Today on Lead Stories, hundreds file legal objections to Detroit's bankruptcy plan. And we talked to a defense lawyer to find out what it's like to be on the receiving end of so much hate.
Okay. Utrice Lead, right now.